Well, if you can manage to save enough for retirement, folks, there is a place for you. The green, sunny, slow-moving landscape of leisure. You know it. Florida. From Disney World to South Beach, let's just say Florida did not invent PowerPoint or the to-do list. People have been discovering Florida's potential as a leisure paradise for centuries. But this quest for utopia, from the delirious Ponce de Leon of the 1500s to the twisted condo developers of South Florida in the 2000s, has been more like a fight between a stubborn animal trainer and a vicious badger. Florida has not gone gently into paradise, as Florida native and author T.D. Allman tells us.
You know, I regard myself as the historian for everybody. You know, I can identify with rich people and presidents and kings, but I also identify with the victims of history, and I feel their story has to be told.
Rich people and victims abound in Allman's new book, Finding Florida, The True History of the Sunshine State. And in Allman's account, the truth about Florida is much stranger than the history we all learned about in school.
The real founder of Florida was a guy named Pedro Menendez de Avilés. The Spanish had given up on Florida. The Amazon they could take, the Andes. But Florida stymied them. They kept sinking into the muck. And then Cortez found gold in Mexico. And Ponce de Leon decided to come back a second time. There had to be gold here. Well, the problem is Florida is the only state with no metals. So he came back. He got himself in a fight with the Indians and got killed. And they gave up on Spain, as I mentioned, until they found out, as a la the Cuban Missile Crisis 450 years later, that the French had found a colony here. So Menendez tore across the Atlantic, massacred all the Frenchmen. He bludgeoned them to death rather than waste ammo. And I call that the really first Florida first, the first mass slaughter of white men by white men in territory later to be a part of the United States.
And as this book says, many of the narratives of America are uniquely driven through the terrain of Florida. Florida has a unique story regarding contact with the Indians. Talk about that for a moment.
Florida is the only place where genocide happened twice. The original inhabitants, who we can call Indians, in spite of the absurdity of the name, were killed off by the diseases which the Europeans, notably the Spaniards, brought with them. Then you had a second so-called Indian War, and it was the only war fought entirely within one U.S. state, the Seminole War. It started in 1816, even before the United States had seized control of Florida. It never purchased it. When General Jackson ordered the massacre of some mixed-race people in a place called Negro Fort in northwest Florida, and it went on, off and on, until 1858. The most interesting thing about the Seminoles is they weren't Indians at all. They were detribalized Indians in many cases. There were many blacks among them, the so-called Black Seminole. And their greatest leader, his name was Billy Powell Jr. I don't suppose many of our listeners have heard of Billy Powell. They know him better by the name he adopted when he was radicalized by American brutality, Osceola. He was mistreated by American soldiers, put in chains until he promised to be a good Indian and go to Oklahoma. And he said, sure, I'll be a good Indian. And they let him go, and he led this war. His father was a white man from Georgia. His mother was a mixed-race woman from Alabama. And today they would be considered a distinguished family in their area, but they weren't white enough, so they were driven into Florida. Osceola, William Powell Jr., was finally captured as a result of betraying a flag of truce. He was sent to South Carolina. And here's where we get to our first Florida souvenir. When he died, the doctor, who supposedly was going to keep him alive and healthy and instead let him die, cut off his head with a scalpel and took it home to St. Augustine as a souvenir. So that's our first Florida souvenir.
Oh, that's frightening. Yet Florida is the place where the paradise myth of America is fused with the frontier myth of America. How did that happen?
Well, basically, historians made it up, trying to fit Florida into the frontier myth. During the Seminole Wars, one soldier wrote back he'd prefer to spend 6 months in hell than 1 month in Florida. But then, with the turn of the century, and especially after World War II, we have a new idea, which is you escape the suburbs and escape to the suburbs. We can put our past behind us, pretend it doesn't exist. And Florida becomes one of the great suburbs of the American dream. And the idea is if you come on down, you sit here, you can escape all your problems. And of course, you can't. It would have been very easy to write a book saying, oh, isn't Florida funny? Florida is funny, it is serious, it is revealing. If our constitutional electoral system is in trouble, we see it in Florida, just to give you one example.
Sure.
If we're going to have global warming and the ocean levels are going to rise, we're going to see it in Florida. So now all of us, all Americans, have to deal with the problems that Florida epitomizes. So I urge, as I have done in my book with great care, the rest of us to look seriously at Florida, find such good things as we can, and find such lessons. And, of course, it can be very pleasant here. In addition to my other residences, I now have a beautiful place in Miami on the 39th floor of a tall building, and I enjoy watching the sunrise and the sunset and so on. But I wouldn't purport this place as paradise.
Let's end on this notion of the theming of America and American places and of American communities really began in Florida. It's one of the Florida legacies. And you tell the story of the Trayvon Martin case being a failure or an indication of the failure of that theming to blot out the rest of the world and create bubbles inside of which we can all be safe.
I mean, it was a convergence of illusion. The real historical continuity is that in the state of Florida, it's always been okay to shoot black men. Okay, let me put that straight out front. The Stand Your Ground law is the latest incarnation of the racist black codes. It basically says shoot anyone you want. And look what happened. The cop showed up. You've got a dead child lying there. And they say, okay, it's time to go. You can go home. Don't worry about it. We'll even take care of the body for you. And where does this take place? In the sort of downwardly mobile kitsch version of a gated community. The gates save no one here. And it was called Twin Lakes, I believe. Somebody will catch me. I don't have it exactly right. It should have been called Twin Sinkholes. In the nature of Florida history, Zimmerman does not give Trayvon Martin a ride home in his SUV. He kills him. And this is what we have to face up to. We must confront the tragic nature of human existence and of history more often than we do across America if we are going to embrace the world constructively and intelligently, whether it's gun control or overseas war or the increasing maldistribution of wealth in the United States.
T.D. Allman is the author most recently of Finding Florida, The True History of the Sunshine State. He spoke to us last week as Florida celebrated the 500th anniversary of Ponce de Leon's supposed discovery of the state. Now, many of our listeners in Florida remind us that they simply love their state.
What I remember most about when I moved to Florida in the late 70s was the light and how bright the sun in the sky was.
I was born and raised in Miami. State's always been great. You know, it has one season and it's summer. You know, I love Florida.
My family and I have been in Florida for more than 30 years. I really enjoy being a Floridian. That flavor from the Caribbean and from Latin America is what makes us unique, makes us stand out.
The light, the air, the sunshine, the green, the foliage, and our crazy reptilian creatures, you know, crocodiles. This is a wonderful, wonderful place.
Whether you are in Florida or not, tell us where the sunshine is in your own state. Tell us a story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for all the sunshine, Richie Havens. We'll miss you. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Little darling, I see the ice is slowly melting. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been clear. Oh, here goes the sun. Here comes the sun.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.